Many people imagine that when sinners are saved, they are restored to Adam's condition before he fell, which would have put them under law and on probation. Adam and Eve were put under a strict law. They were permitted to eat certain things, but prohibited from eating a specific fruit. The penalty, death, was attached to eating that specific fruit. They broke that law and the penalty immediately set in. They were smitten instantly with conviction, fear, and a sense of shame. They knew they were naked and thought to hide from God's presence, but observed that law could not cure them of their malady. What should be done? Grace stepped on the scene and announced redemption through the seed of that fallen woman, Genesis 3:15. God demonstrated his grace and typified redemption by slaying an animal and by dressing Adam and Eve in skin coats. Blood was shed and righteousness was bestowed. Wondrous grace. Did that couple need grace? Yes. Could they have helped themselves? They tried to cover their shame by turning tailors, but fig leaf aprons were too brittle, too weak, too small, too thin. The holy God could not accept a righteousness made by unholy hands. Garments washed in blood, which he had shed, were the only garments that could be accepted by him. Oh, the marvels of divine grace! Did they earn or merit those coats? No, they merited death. Did they help sew the seams of those animal coats with their man-made needles? Absolutely not. These robes were seamless and a perfect fit. Did they dress themselves or each other after the garments were made? Let the record answer. The Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Genesis 3:21. No human hand helped God provide redemption, and no sinful human hand helps him to save lost sinners, and no law can keep them saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Never forget that. Those animal suits were gifts of grace from the God of love and mercy. We do not read that Adam and Eve even shed tears, did penance, beat the bench, and prayed through before the Lord dressed them. I imagine that they were so disgusted with their flimsy aprons, which perhaps tore the first time they wore them, that they hailed with delight the durable raiment of skins. The righteousness of Christ cannot be improved, destroyed, punctured, nor can it wear out. It satisfies the just and holy God. He cannot see through it. Hence, he sees us clothed in Christ. His righteousness fits and suits everyone who accepts it, everlasting righteousness. Where is boasting then? The apostle exclaims, it is excluded, Romans 3:27. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 1:31. Where is the law? Its voice is hushed. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, Romans 10 verse 4. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, 1 Timothy 1 verse 9. Now if Adam and Eve failed to keep the simple law placed before them when they were sinless, how shall we expect to keep God's law with sin in the flesh? We need a new sinless spiritual life and the Holy Spirit to keep and nourish that life. The letter we have been considering has a fine ending. It puts before us Paul's pertinent question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6 verses 1 and 2. As sin is the transgression of the law, Jesus Christ came to die and save his people from their sins and to deliver them from the curse of the law. 1 John 3:4 and Matthew 1:21. It seems that God's people should be willing and eager to enter into new covenant relations with such a gracious God and allow Jesus to do for them what he in grace came to do and which he is still able to do. We agree with our brother in this, but we must also remember that a number of things militate against a life of victory over sin. Satan is on the job. Sin still remains in our flesh. We dwell in bodies of humiliation. Every believer is a dual creature having both the old Adam nature and the new Adam or Christ nature, which are contrary to each other. We are all babes in Christ until we learn the scriptural way of growth and victory. We all need to study the word of his grace found especially in Paul's epistles, that we may grow up into Christ in all things and live in victory. Basic facts. Grace was introduced in the beginning, Genesis 3:15. The Ten Commandments were not given to Moses until 2,500 years later, see Exodus 20. The law was given 430 years after Abraham was justified by grace through faith, wholly independent of works or human effort. He had no law to keep and was not on probation as was Adam before he fell. In walking by faith, Abraham became the friend of God, not by keeping any law whatever. The law is not made for a righteous man, he needs no law, but for the lawless. 1 Timothy 1 verse 9. In Christ we are not under the law but under grace. Romans 6:14. Therefore sin shall not have dominion over us. The law has no jurisdiction over us in Christ. It spent its strength and finished its work on us in executing Christ Jesus on the cross in our behalf. There our old man was crucified with him, Romans 6:6. That is, we died with Christ. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments do not express all the will of God. They were the written will of God for a particular people, Israel, for a certain limited period of time. They are not rules of conduct for believers. Paul said, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God," Galatians 6:16. That is, the rule of the new creation, brought forth by the death and resurrection of Christ, not by the rule of circumcision, nor the law. The law was added because of transgressions. It was a schoolmaster until Christ, that we might be justified by faith, Galatians 3:19 and 24. The law entered that the offense might abound, Romans 5:20. As a schoolmaster, the law whipped the transgressor to obedience, but he kicked against it, thus proving his inability to keep it. The law was weak through the sinful flesh, Romans 8:3. It could not give life to nor save a sinner. It is not a savior. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law, Galatians 3:21. The law school is out since Christ came. The schoolmaster, the law, has been dismissed and is never hired again except by legalists. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, Romans 10:4. The law was a ministration of condemnation and of death, an unendurable sight, 2 Corinthians 3 verses 6 through 9. Hence it was done away. It was an unbearable yoke to Israel. To lay down a law for others to keep is tempting God, Acts 15:10. It is also witchcraft, Galatians 3:1. With all these Bible facts before us, how dare anyone try to keep the law of Moses or teach others to keep it, or make laws and bylaws for folks who have been made free forever by the blood of Christ? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8, verses 32 and 36. Somewhat in doubt. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. A puzzled inquirer propounds some odd questions. She asks, what is grace? What is law? What is spirit? What are the lusts of the flesh? Television, movies, bowling, swimming? Is doing these things even seldom feeding the flesh? This letter contained many other questions and statements. In reading it, one could hear the voices of the old Adam and of the new Adam. It showed also that the Holy Spirit was answering some of the queries, but perhaps she was not quite ready to acquiesce and say, yes, grace means God's favor, unearned, unmerited, unasked for, unheard of, bestowed upon sinners who are sentenced to death. God's great stroke of grace was shown by the sacrificial death of Christ in humanity's stead. The Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, is meant in our text, which the letter also quoted. The flesh, the carnal mind, self, refer to the old Adam, especially since Adam sinned in the garden. All unsaved people are in the flesh. They are selfish and sinful, sold under sin, controlled by sin. The operations of the flesh are named in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. The operations or fruit of the Spirit are named in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The contrast is plain. In personal experience, we meet many things which are not listed above or elsewhere in the Bible. Such things must be decided by our Spirit-guided judgment, taste, desire, or conviction. Providence or necessity may answer the question or make the decision for us. As to places of amusement, we may ask, are they run for the glory of God? What profit can you get there? What is the character of the manager and of the majority who attend such places? Can you imagine finding Jesus there? Do you mean to go where he could not be found? Remember also that you are influencing others by your conduct, being it wise or unwise. Others may, you cannot. If you purpose to be a wholehearted Christian, you must learn to conform to the Word of God and walk in the Holy Spirit. If you would be such a Christian, you will have to say no many times to the flesh, your own flesh and that of others. Perhaps your hardest task will be to say no to your own kinfolk or to other saints. Religious traps to entangle and trip young people are many. Their religious tags make them the more subtle and dangerous. I said no many times to other Christians who made fun of my piety. They seemed to enjoy some things of which I was deprived. However, I have a place on God's program of which they never dreamed. I learned to say if I wanted God's best, others may, but I cannot. First, I made such decisions from prudence, profit, and conviction, sometimes against my feelings, which suffered thereby. Today, the same things would be repulsive and obnoxious. I would not have them under any circumstance. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned, or condemned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, verses 22 through 23. Here are several clear principles expressed. Follow them, and you cannot go far out of the way. It is supposed that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and really desire to please the Lord rather than your own flesh or others. You may have faith before God to do some things that others cannot do. Be sure it is faith of God, then push on, but have it to yourself before Him. See that you do not school your conscience into looseness, as many have done. Happy is he that condemneth not himself. This is pure happiness and pure self-justification. The conscience has not become an elastic belt. Do the thing several times that you doubt is right, and you will soon have an elastic conscience. If the thing is doubtful, wait on the Lord. If it is only an impression, if only a carnal desire, if an honest but unwise desire or conviction, it will gradually fade away. You may forget it or not want to move thus, or providence may inform you of the wisdom of abiding where you are. Consider Solomon's wise words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13.